The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hello and welcome to The Offside Rule, We Get It. And this episode comes from Loftus Road, QPR. I could just bask in this sunshine, girls. It's lovely. I'm joined by Hayley McQueen.
Moi.
Hello. I'm Lindsay Hooper. And next to me on my right is Kate Borsay.
Baking away slowly. It's lovely though, isn't it? It feels like being in Ibiza, although we're not. We're right in the middle of Shepherd's Bush. But you know, we can always aim.
Shepherd's Bush, Ibiza, not too much between them. This is a really apt place for us to be, especially because you're back again.
I am. I was sat here behind the dugout, not able to see the dugout, but in the director's box.
Only Hayley would have the director's box.
Yeah, 2 seats away from Abramovich. I was very happy about that.
You know what they say about those prima donna privileged presenters always sitting around. Now, we know that you're a real football fan, of course, but tell us about the director's box experience. Did you have nice catering?
I had
nice food.
There was a full English and wine.
Oh, okay.
Bucks fizz on arrival, but I missed that. It was absolutely devastated. So I had a mug of tea and wine. Half time, I had a pie.
Oh, yes.
They had pies to make you feel like you were actually getting the
real
authentic
football
match day experience in the director's box with the carpet and everything else, fancy toilets,
well,
hand soap.
88 minutes, you'd have loved it, wouldn't you? For 88 minutes, you'd have been in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a QPR fan, but I didn't really want Chelsea to win. And actually, I didn't think they deserved to win. So anyway, the roars went up around me with Abramovich just fist-punching his billions of body weight behind him. And I was like...
You were like, whoa, stand back there.
Yeah.
But it was a funny old game, wasn't it? Because Chelsea have looked less than convincing, especially that game and the last two games before that, Stoke and Hull as well. So they don't, to me, look like champions. But of course, they behave like champions when they score in the final few minutes. And poor old QPR, the look on Chris Ramsay's face, I felt so sorry for him. Mm. They really, really tried very hard.
Well, post-match, Jose Mourinho has now said just 3 wins, 2 draws, and Chelsea will be champions. He's also talked about how they're not normal because they've been at the top for so long, over 270-odd days spent at the top of the Premier League. But I think you hit on a point there, because I don't think it's been pretty lately. If you go back on the last 6 league wins, they've actually only won by 1-goal margin. And we're used to Chelsea in the free-flowing football that we've seen under Mourinho before of having 4-5-0 results.
And the lack of strikers as well. They because Costa's out, obviously, they only had one recognised striker. That was Didier Drogba. He was labouring. They had Isaiah Brown on the subs bench. But they took a risk. As well as having no strikers, they took a risk in playing Matic and Fabregas. Both players only a card away from getting a two-match ban. Not nice at this point in the season. So he's also taking risks as well, Jose Mourinho, I think, at a bit of a strange point in the season to take them.
And you'd have thought you maybe dropped those players for the game against QPR as a opposed to, you know, they've already dropped points against Liverpool and City, as we know, and with 7 games left.
Well, they've got United and Arsenal, I think, coming up, haven't they?
Well, it might be Chelsea's title to come, the 4th title for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've resigned to that, aren't we? But let's talk about winning pretty, because it won't go down as one of the seasons where they really have been creative, shown flair, but there have been occasions, looking back on the Premier League era, where we have seen that. It's very predictable here, Kate, I'm afraid to say, that Hayley McQueen's going to go for Manchester United.
What a bad topic to do with a Manchester United fan and a Liverpool fan.
Yeah,
what a bad topic.
Manchester United have won the most Premier League titles. Yeah. We're going to start with you, as we always do. Which of those titles are you going to go with?
Yeah, well, we've got some fun stuff coming up, haven't we, a little bit later on. So we'll discuss the serious business of title-winning sides. And what about the treble-winning Manchester United side, who emphatically won in that 99-2000 season by an 18-point margin. That is unheard of. Yes, we had the excitement a few seasons ago when it was City and United and it came down to goal difference, and
don't
I hated it.
Don't say too much about that one, because that might be coming up in a minute.
Yeah, okay. But the margins have been quite slim, but 2 runs of 6 wins consecutively and 11 consecutive victories as well, which actually led into the following season in the home game against Arsenal, when of course they had to give them a guard of honour, which was great. But for Manchester United to have achieved so much in other tournaments, to have then gone on and won the league in such emphatic style was quite brilliant. And there was a season as well, you'll remember it, Kate, with the
Rafa Liverpool were like runners up or something.
Liverpool were, yes, they were leading at the time.
Yes.
Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson headed to Tokyo, didn't they, to play in this World Club Champions
World Club
game
Cup,
or whatever it was called. And everyone was, oh, he's not going to... He took his whole squad with him and basically came back from that and just absolutely battered everybody on the way to winning the league again.
That was, of course, the famous season where Rafa had his rant. Yeah. And I interviewed him a couple of years ago, and he still insists to this day that it was all calculated. He didn't lose it at all. Oh, no, he didn't. He remained his typical cool Spanish self. Yeah, right. of course, it looked like he lost it, but he maintains, actually, a little bit of a word from behind the scenes here from him, that someone at Manchester United gave Liverpool a tip-off that those were Ferguson's weak points, and so that's why Rafa came out with that quite weird rant, really, weirdly timed rant. And it all backfired because, as we know, Liverpool got themselves out of the reckoning and Manchester United swiftly moved themselves into it.
Well, as the only one of us who supports a championship side, or hopefully to come, Premier League, who knows?
keep on dreaming, yeah.
Anyway,
it's going to be a while.
You can't pick Liverpool, Kate, because they've not won a Premier League title.
Thanks very much.
So who are you going for?
Well, we can't talk about winning the Premier League title beautifully and in emphatic style without talking about Arsenal, can we? Because the Invincibles era is something that we'll all remember. And I talk about this actually pertinently because with the win against Burnley at the weekend, Arsenal have now recorded eight straight Premier League wins, which no other Premier League team has done this season so far. So well done to them. And actually Wenger came out and said he feels like the spirit of the Invincibles is with the team. Now, we all know that they're all still alive, but I'm imagining Henri shouting down from the sky, shoot the ball, play with style, play sexy football, va va voom.
Sexy football.
And I'm imagining Bergkamp from across the seas. He'd, of course, have to drive here rather than fly here, but I'm imagining him, you know, coaching words of perfection to the Arsenal team. But it really feels like this Arsenal team going about their business quietly but effectively.
There's a marked difference, though, isn't there? When he says about having the spirit of the Invincibles, it's a shame we didn't have that spirit from day one of the season, isn't it? Because Arsenal got off to that ploddy start again.
Yeah, but you never do with Arsenal ever since that
they didn't
era.
In that season.
Well, no, and Arsenal either start off brightly and then completely fall apart at Christmas because of injury, or they start badly and then they struggle to try and get anything back from that. This season, could they chase Chelsea? Well, it is, you know, in theory possible point-wise, but I think no one's really predicting that. Everyone's being being very, very safe about it. Let's look at the Invincibles era, shall we? It actually all started back in 2002, and quite interestingly, Arsenal didn't lose an away game during that season. The last team to do that over 100 years previously, was Preston. They, at that time, were called the Invincibles, and that's where the nickname came from. Arsene Wenger then said that he would go through the next season without losing a game. That didn't happen, okay, and they conceded the title to Manchester United, who they'd pipped to the post in that 2002 title. So let's fast forward to 2003-2004, and Arsenal did. They actually did it, went through the whole season and then some into the next season without losing a single game. It went to 48 games unbeaten in total, so it went on beyond...
But pretty, I want pretty. Well, pretty players.
Should we talk about Vieira? Well, Vieira's not that pretty. Let's talk about Henri. Let's talk about Bergkamp. Let's talk about that back line as well. You've got Sol Campbell in there. Ashley Cole in there as well. It was a fantastic era for Arsenal. And you've only got to look at some of the ex-players talking about that time. Here's Bergkamp. In Bergkamp's book, actually, he talks about how he thinks they were as close to perfection as they could have been, and that really they had such belief that none of them ever really considered anything else apart from winning. It was a total winning mentality. And Henri also talks about how they were about as close to perfection as they could have been. You just had a feeling, Henri said, that you were going to win, that you were going to take this momentum with you. And the kind of team all in sync as well, each of them saying, various players have been quoted over the years.
Maybe that's where all the colour adverts came from, being in sync.
But all of them had this kind of, whether it's a telepathic thing or it's just being perfectly in sync, going onto a football field and knowing what kind of run your opponent's going to do, knowing when to time your tackle, or knowing when to time your run to meet someone else's ball. So in terms of fluid football, in terms of beautiful football, in terms of rewriting perhaps the way football's played, you've got to look at that era.
And well, Arsenal are the masters, and I think you probably got the answer that we should all go for. Obviously, Hayley's going to go for Man United, but yeah, I think you've probably got the answer. For me, not to be contrary, but I am going to go for Man City. 2011-12.
New money.
First time they won the Premier League title since 1968. I mean, obviously the Premier League wasn't even around then, so the first time they won the top flight title since 1968. And if we're going to talk about pretty football, and actually if we're going to talk about records at home and things like that as well in terms of going unbeaten, I was really impressed with City that season in the sense that they didn't lose at home. They only only actually drew one game. It was against Sunderland. In the entire time that they were playing at the Etihad, away from home as well, they had brilliant form. But the amount of clean sheets they kept something like 10 clean sheets at home in that season. But let's talk about Pretty players. One of my favourites, and he had a season to remember, David Silva. The assists and the exquisite pinpoint passing during that season. There's two in memory that I could pick up on. James Milner goal, a Sergio Aguero goal, and actually there was one for Edin Dzeko as well, where his pass was just something of beauty. So for me, I like the fact of the history and what they did and the fact of the drama. It was one on goal difference, Sergio Aguero's last gasp winner that won them the title whilst Manchester United, to point it out, we're on the pitch wondering whether they'd won the title or not.
Yes, last day drama.
It was just nice to watch.
It was awful. Plus, he's the perfect pocket-sized footballer, isn't he?
He's
absolutely
he's
tiny.
Pocket. Yeah.
In fact, if you had two pocket-sized footballers to put in your handbag,
him and Zola.
Him and Zola for you?
Yeah. Messi.
Yeah. I'd have to go pockets, Raheem Sterling because he's quite diddy.
Yes.
Pocket-sized footballers.
We'll leave that there.
Watch videos and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel, Offside Rule TV.
Now, before we go on to topic number two, I will remind you that you can give us a follow on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod, and you can check out brand new football content, new articles from all of our volunteers who write away, scribbling away about football, all genuine football fans as well, at offsiderulepodcast.com. We'll move on to topic number three in a moment, where we're going to talk one of our favourite topics of all time, player endorsements. It's time that we do a new one, a new version. But first, Gabon is the new host for the Africa Cup of Nations in 2017, and that has inspired us for a topic. I want you to just be as obscure and outrageous with these as you can, because we're thinking countries that have never hosted a football tournament. They can host the Euros if they like, or the World Cup. Let's gift them one of the ultimate football tournaments, but I want you to justify why they should have it, please. Who would like to start?
I'll start, shall I?
Okay, go on then, Kate.
Okay, well, according to some random survey, this little island, 21 metres square, contains the most overweight population, and that's my reason for bringing some
You're
sort of
You're trying to get everyone slim.
Yeah, I'm going to get everyone into shape.
Coming from the vegetarian.
It's called Nauru, and it's off Australia, and in fact, quite often, Australia send some of their immigrants over there, so it's a slightly contentious island in that it doesn't. It kind of has this fallout relationship with Australia.
They could do with a bit of
football. Exactly. They could do with a bit of fun, a bit of light entertainment. Only 21 kilometres square, so I mean, you'd literally have to fill most of that space with football stadia. So I'm thinking, you know, just grounds right next door to each other, perhaps. But yeah, it's the world's smallest nation, apparently, an island country in Micronesia in the Central Pacific. So nice views as well.
Wow. I want to get specific on the metres. What metres was it?
21 kilometres square.
I've got one better.
Oh, okay.
Sealand. And it is a micronation. It's off.
It sounds like a resort in Florida.
It does. When I went to go and see Shamu, the killer whale, when I was 11. 10 kilometres. Absolutely tiny. It's. Do you know where it is?
Where?
It's off the UK.
What?
It's actually a neighbouring country of ours.
I'd like to go to SeaWorld.
It's called Sealand.
Sealand,
rather. I've picked up on it. What? Sealand. Yes. It's so small, it's been termed a micronation. It was discovered just off the English coast. World War II, Paddy Roy Bates went and occupied it.
What Paddy Roy Bates?
Paddy Roy Bates.
Him again.
He gets everywhere.
I'm thinking, just for Paddy, we take over the football
Let's
that
do
we
it
all
for
love.
Paddy.
Yeah, the World Cup. And we have it on the smallest micronation off England. Because you know what? This is my theory behind it. Sepp Blatter won't give us the blooming World Cup, will he, England? Can he give it Sealand? Just off the English coast. We could all go there. That's how we get one up on him.
Oh, fine. Yeah, good.
This is kind of weird, actually, because I've also gone for a very small country, and I've gone for it so that everybody can manoeuvre around and get to the stadiums and there aren't the travel issues. I've gone for Luxembourg, the capital of Luxembourg. The only problem is, yes, they do have lots of stadia. However, the biggest capacity of the stadium, the big arena that they use for the big sports out there, basketball and handball, 8,300.
Oh, that's not many.
Quite so small. It isn't many. So
we're going to have to rely on you getting a director's box again.
Yeah, exactly. A few, 10 people in the press room, that'll do. But I just thought, in terms of not having to move around so much, we saw the troubles that the teams had in Brazil, of course, even South Africa, but not just the teams. I'm thinking about the fans. And because it's so centrally based, you've got Spain,
just
Germany,
walk around,
and Belgium,
you?
You just all come into Luxembourg, create a football city, country, same thing, because Luxembourg is the capital of Luxembourg. And that's just where you go with that. Now, we saw as well lots of troubles, of course, out in Spain in 82 with having to travel far because France and West Germany, who were both based in Madrid at the time, had to go and play a semi-final in Seville. Guess what? They got delayed and held up and arrived in the early hours of the morning on the day of the game, and it was an absolute disaster. So as far as travel, I'm thinking, maybe Sepp could employ me for the World Cup as his chief travel coordinator.
You want to go and work for Sepp, be my guest.
Do you want the bonuses? The watch?
Do you want the least densely populated country? Because in terms of World Cups, we were out in Brazil, and it's just a... Sometimes it's too much. There's just too many people all in one place, and you're a bit like, it's just too. Sometimes
when we were on
you
that
want
beach,
a country.
At times, I just felt like that moment where you want one of those giant flags so that I could tell you that's where I'll be.
And it wasn't just that beach, was it? It was Copacabana.
Oh, no, it was Copacabana.
That beach.
Oh, that beach.
Yeah, that one. I'm there every year, pretty much. So the least densely populated country is Mongolia. Okay, there are only four people per square mile. Compare that.
There's only four people left there.
Compare that to Hong Kong, which has got the highest population density. They've got 340,000 people per square mile. So there's quite some difference there. So I'm thinking, nice and quiet, nice and peaceful. None of the jazz or the people in your face or the people offering your caipirinhas right in your face.
Oh, I like that bit.
I know. But why not take the World Cup to Mongolia? You've all heard of the Outer Mongolia, haven't you? You know, the most remote place ever. Well, yeah, why not there?
You are going to love this one that I've got, that I've found. This is a gem. Because why are we here doing the offside rule? We get it. Because off the back of Andy Gray, which is that sort of scenario, we felt like actually we wanted to be women and have an opinion in football. And we've got Sean Massey flying the flag for referees. Mm-hmm. Often we're outnumbered, aren't we? Not in this country. In this country that I've found, by the way, it's part of the Czech Republic. Ooh. And I'm not condoning all of its behaviour, but you're going to just run with me. This is a nation founded in 1996, and women rule. Women rule over men.
Good.
It's part of the Czech Republic. It's called the Other World Kingdom.
Oh, does this place actually exist?
Because it does. It has a queen. Queen Patricia the First.
Oh, Pat, lovely lady.
She has a hierarchy who she calls her Sublime Ladies. Would love it. You'd fit in like a glove. You'd love
it. Amazing. What do they wear?
Every woman, they can wear what they want because they have a manslave each. No, this is the bit that I'm not condoning. I'm not condoning having a manslave. Yeah. I'm not in favour of any form of slavery. No. I knew you'd pipe up.
If he cooks, brilliant.
Yeah. If he irons.
Kate's already got Dan for that. Is he your manslave?
He is my manslave, yeah.
But yeah, each woman gets a man as a slave. All these noble women, they're the hierarchy. There are a layer of men below them who actually make sure they get all the tax and all the laws and enforce all the taxes. But apart from that, women rule.
Brilliant.
Gosh.
I think that's the nation to go to. Should we take the World Cup there?
Well, yes, I think so. I'd like to be one of the supreme women or whatever they're called.
Sublime.
Sublime ladies. Even better. Do you want a quick one to finish off with? Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes it's good to combine a holiday and football? And we obviously did that. Yeah,
exactly. We're going to have a T-shirt, Búzios 2000.
Yes, which was a lovely seaside town in Brazil where we frequented many bars this summer as well as took in a bit of football as well. So I'm thinking the ultimate in matching luxury holiday with luxury football, perhaps.
Bora Bora.
Well, how about we take the World Cup or some big football tournament to the Maldives before it completely disappears? Yes. Because we need something to put the Maldives on the map before sea levels mean that it'll completely go.
Maybe all those people playing football, though, it might just sink.
Well, it's only 1.8 metres above sea level, so I don't think it's going to be that long before that luxury honeymoon island of the Maldives goes. So let's make sure that we take that and enjoy the little huts and the free massages and stuff like that as well.
And because he keeps getting a mention, we'll just leave Sepp Blatter there until it sinks.
Two very quick ones. Rainfall. I looked at the country with the most rainfall, Hawaii. I wouldn't mind going there as well, having a bit of a surf.
All day long.
Just thought that might give England the best chance. We're used to rain. Yes. We might actually win a tournament. And the other one was either Nigeria or parts of Uganda where they have lots of tribes. Because I just thought if every country took a... And they actually had to become part of a local tribe and you did a like war dance before you did the football. Amazing. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Paint.
The thought of one of our footballers
cooking over a fire, log fire.
And you would start that yourself?
I wouldn't, because you know that I'm awful at that sort of thing. Time now to get the latest from the WSL. Here's Sue Smith summing up everything for us.
Sue Smith's WSL Roundup, brought to you by Continental Tyres.
Hello, everyone. Here's my weekly roundup of women's football. I'm going to start with England this time. They played their last preparation game for the World Cup against China last Thursday, and it was a massive boost for the Lionesses, winning the game 2-1. The game was at the Academy Stadium, which is where Manchester City play their home games from this season, and it's excellent. We played them there in the FA Cup, and such a good stadium to play at. The crowd was over 5,000, and they had lots to cheer about. Firstly, goals from Jodie Taylor, and probably the most informed striker in the league, Frank Kirby. It's exactly the result that the girls would have wanted before going to Canada. Now it's the tough task of Mark Sampson to pick his squad for the World Cup. There's lots of in-form players at the minute, so all the best, Mark. Domestically, it was FA Cup weekend. As we were knocked out by Man City, I had a weekend off. Well, I say a weekend off. Double training session on a Sunday. Not quite a weekend off, so no rest for the wicked there. But the quarterfinals for the FA Cup were as follows. Arsenal played Chelsea. Notts County played Aston Villa. Man City played Birmingham. OK, I'll start with the derby first, Arsenal against Chelsea. This was always going to be a bit of a tasty encounter. And it happened that two former Gunners would punish their old side. Firstly, Katie Chapman headed the Blues in front, and then Gemma Davidson doubled the lead. Left-back Emma Mitchell for Arsenal pulled one back. It was a fantastic strike. Not sure if it was a cross-come shot. I'm sure she'll say it was a shot, but it was a great goal nonetheless. So the game finished 2-1. Chelsea are through to the semis. Next up was Notts County. They faced WSL 2 side Aston Villa. And after quite a close first half, Notts County eased through in the end to a 5-1 victory. Goals from Aileen Whelan, Ellen White, Laura Bassett, and then two from substitute Dunya Susie. The final game I'm going to talk about was Man City against Birmingham. Man City actually won this game 3-1. Tony Duggan opened the scoring, so it was good to see her back playing and scoring before Nikita Paris doubled the lead. Have to say, she's a player that I've been really impressed with this year. Birmingham sub, Coral Jade Haynes came on and pulled the goal back, but then Jill Scott scored the third to make it 3-1. So Man City through to the semi-finals. Okay, the draw was actually made on Monday, and we know now that Everton face Notts County and Chelsea will play Man City. OK, it's really difficult to say who's going to win these matches and who's going to get to the final. But I've got to say, the players must be so excited to actually be playing at Wembley in an FA Cup final. So it's lots to play for. And again, it's another massive step in women's football. Let's hope we can get a really big crowd there at Wembley, because I'm sure that the football on show is going to be a great spectacle. OK, that's all for now. See you all again next week.
Thank you very much, Sue. Finally, ladies, we've been recording this show for 2.5 seasons, and one of our favourites, which was in the early days, was product endorsement. We've got some crackers.
Yeah.
We need to do another lot.
Footballers do anything for money, don't they, basically?
There's a lot to choose from.
Joe Hart, he has everything, doesn't he? Yeah, he still feels like he needs to advertise an anti-dandruff shampoo for a few extra coins.
By the way, I prefer Jimmy Bullard's Head and Shoulders
to
Joe Hart, yeah. Although his hair, I'm a little bit jealous. He's got lots more than I've got.
What, Bullard?
Yeah, it's out here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, which ones have you gone for?
I'm going to go Peter Schmeichel, Dame Pack.
Ugh.
I mean,
have you seen those adverts?
No.
He basically decided it was a great idea to take lots of money. Yeah, from the Danish bacon company Dame Pack and do an advert for them. Not only is he advertising bacon, they've got him dressed up as a butcher, playing an accordion with some goalkeeper gloves on. I don't think it was possible to be able to play an accordion with goalkeeper gloves, but he manages to achieve it, and he sings as well.
He does sing. He's got accordion as well as in the advert. I saw that. And I heard that the casting director chose him not only because he was Danish, but also because they thought he looked like the butcher on the packet.
What?
Wow.
It's insane. They basically rewrote... Do you remember, well, you probably don't remember, there's a famous George Formby song, When I'm Cleaning Windows, and they've got...
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know it per se, Kate, but it wasn't
probably,
there at the
probably
time,
a favourite of your grandparents, yeah. Or certainly on in our house a little bit when I was young, just for the sheer comedy value. But yeah, they basically rewrote to the tune of When I'm Cleaning Windows to advertise bacon.
Windows?
Windows.
From my neck of the
When I'm Cleaning Windows. But yeah, disastrous.
Hey,
disastrous.
Oh, my gosh. Well, AC Milan, very cool, slick, stylish designer. Were they going to have a designer label across the front of their shirts back in the 80s, like Armani or something like that? No. Poo. Poo jeans, P-O-O-H. They played the full season with poo across the front of their shirts.
And the Danish national team.
And what were the results like?
I have no idea.
Brilliant.
Probably not poo.
The Danish national team was sponsored by Dong Energy, so they had Dong written across their t-shirts. Dong written across their t-shirts for that season.
Do you remember Nicholas Anelka being very, very good at football?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was, wasn't he? Don't you think he would have had many, many offers, apart from one which came through, which was to endorse a burger?
Oh,
he
weird.
Literally puts his name to a burger, and through the entire advert, a woman just talks to his poster. He couldn't even be bothered to set up in person.
Oh!
So they could afford to pay him to endorse the burger, but not to show up for the photo.
He put his name to it, yeah, he put his name to it. What
about imagine biting into an Elka.
Oh, what about Cristiano Ronaldo? Oh, what does he bite into? Fried chicken.
Yeah,
the face
bad, isn't
of
it?
See, I bet he doesn't eat fried chicken.
But there's a better one of Cristiano Ronaldo since.
Castor
the Japanese.
Oil.
No.
Oh.
Do you know about this one?
The Japanese face exerciser.
It's a face exerciser.
What?
And he's been endorsing that. That was in 2014 last year.
I did not
it's
know
like,
about that.
Yeah. It basically, it's the advert is kind of like something out of The Apprentice when they make all the contestants make an advert for something ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
this long.
That's the kind of quality level of that. I found a cracker.
It's to show his white teeth off.
Well, that's very nice for him. Featuring some Norwegian players, John Arne Riise, Morten Gamst Pedersen and Erik Husklepp as well. Now, these guys were paid by a fruit company to advertise the fact that it's much better to eat fruit than to eat sweets. Well, that's not brain science anyway, but the advert... awful. They basically have Riise and Pedersen as the kind of bouncers, and they try and get Husklepp to stop picking at the pick and mix and to choose fruit instead. There's a really unfortunate shot where they shove some bananas in Husklepp's chest, which is a bit weird, and they rap. Okay, so Riise and Pedersen rap throughout this. They also wear awful suits, a bit like they've been to Burton, no offence Burton, and got some very ill-fitting suits. The start of the advert, obviously in Norwegian, is like, no, 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 you shouldn't be eating those sweets. And then I've lifted off a couple of lyrics here just to try and recreate
these are
it.
These wrapped. Can you wrap them to
in
us?
In a supermarket.
Yes.
I want to get
a pseudo supermarket. Well, I can't rap, as everyone knows.
Well, this is why it's going to be good.
Well, no, because I am no John Barnes, luckily.
But just give it a go.
But... this isn't the beatbox championships. So Pedersen, at one point, goes, noppa kroppen, which I can only assume means, it's no good. And then Pedersen stands up and does this little hip shimmy.
Oh, I'm glad you started the dancing.
To the noppa kroppen, as if noppa kroppen, I've no idea what it means, but as if noppa kroppen means, you'll look this good if you noppa kroppen the fruits.
Well, this one's for you, Kate. I've picked this one out especially. Fernando Torres. Mm-hmm. We're talking before the dizzying heights of Liverpool.
Chelsea.
he has a friend in Spain who's a dog trainer and a dog handler. So the friend comes on board. I would do this. If I had a friend who was a super duper famous footballer, I'd say, can you endorse my
product? Yeah, of course you would.
I know you don't like dogs, so bear with me as to why I've chosen this one for you. But he tells a pug to sit down. He gives these instructions in the advert. He shows one around a bit of a track and an obstacle course, a bit like Crufts. And then he has a kickabout with an Alsatian. Literally plays football. By the way, before you say anything, one of my old dogs was brilliant at football. Really good defender. Could show a few of the
Where's
players
he now?
Here at the Thingleton. Unfortunately, he's in doggy heaven.
Playing football in the sky.
But the reason why I picked this out, this Alsatian is called Nacho. He did it in a Gerard shirt. Yeah.
What, the dog?
So in this advert, the Alsatian is wearing a Gerard shirt.
What?
Yes.
That's the most bizarre thing ever.
Look it up on YouTube.
I am going to have to.
What about a famous goalkeeper dressed up as an oil filter? The great,
as you do.
The legendary Pat Jennings dressed up as an oil filter as people took shots at him to stop them going into the car. To promote healthy car parts, it was all a
advertising genius.
That actually reminds me about once when I was in Leicester Square and my friends. We bumped into some people promoting Asda Shade's toilet roll, and they were dressed as toilet rolls.
Oh, no.
Oh dear!
And used us for some time.
And on a day like today, you wouldn't really want to be dressed as a toilet roll, would you?
No, not in Leicester Square. Anyway, thank you, girls. Another podcast undusted. From here in QPR. Have you got your beach towel ready? Because I reckon we should kind of move it for some
on the pitch.
Yes. Middle of April, you wouldn't know it. thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next time with more at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter, and offsiderulepodcast.com is our website address. Bye for now.
Yes! Oh, yes!
The Offside Rule We Get It is brought to you by Continental Tires.